Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguar Central. We've got an hour of Jaguars This Week for you, presented by Aetna, right here on AM 690, 106.5 on the FM dial. News Talk Radio, WOKV. I'm Brian Sexton. Jeff Loggeman is back from his week sabbatical. Nice to see you, Jeff.
Good to be back.
Vic is back from the Combine. Lots of stories. Big smile on your face.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know you have been inundated with emails about Fred.
Yeah.
People mad. Yeah. Just upset as can be. Today, folks, you should be over it. Marvin Harrison cut by the Colts. 11-time Pro Bowler, certain lock, first ballot Hall of Famer Derek Brooks cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is what it is. Just understand that's the nature of the business. It should all be clear today.
An old guy I covered years ago, Merrill Hodge, when he played for the Steelers, is now one of these Jeff types on ESPN. Analyst. And, you know, the one thing about the Jeffs of the world, Jeff and Jaworski and Merrill Hodge, whoever they are, the former players.
They work at it.
They work at it, and they know the game, and they can decipher what's happening. And for giving an example, I saw Merrill do a thing on Ray Lewis. He's preparing for free agency, and he saw him do a thing on Ray Lewis today where they took video.
Breaking him down.
Breaking it down. And he clearly is off his game.
He is.
Clearly a decline in his game. But I'm getting back to Marvin Harrison. Merrill Hodge showed how when Marvin Harrison was in his prime, he got the best cornerback on the field and the best safety, you know, over the top. And the whole thing was to make sure that he was denied the ball, and they still didn't succeed. Now he showed in the last couple of years it's just whatever corner's on that side of the field and no one else need help.
Yeah, 2 years ago there was a shift, you know, with Marvin Harrison. And last year one coach's comment to me was, we're not worried about Marvin. We're worried about Reggie Wayne. I mean, all you have to do is look at how people approach a certain opponent, and that gives you what the true value or the true opinion of somebody is. And, you know, with Fred Taylor's thing going on Monday, I was actually on – my first leg of my journey last week and got a call from here, and they said that we're going to release Fred today. And, you know, and it was hard. I mean, you know, the reason it was so hard for me was just because, you know, I still think Fred's a productive player, you know, and I understand, you know, $6 million productivity probably doesn't equal it, but at the same time, you know, he's still better than Chauncey Washington. He's still better than Greg Jones as a pure runner. He's still better than what they're going to have as a backup to Maurice Drew. So, from that standpoint, I wish that there had been some attempt at finding a common ground or a middle ground to keep him here. Not because of the emotional aspect of it, but because he still can be a productive player.
Let's transition to the Drew contract. I mean, this is something to me that's very interesting. You're talking about a running back whose lifespan is very short, and supposedly his people are talking about a deal with $20 million in guaranteed money. Whoa. I mean, Maurice Drew is your marquee player, but do you commit that kind of guaranteed money to a running back?
You could play hardball with him because the 2010 is an uncapped year. It brings in a double restricted free agency thing.
He doesn't get to be a free agent until after 2011.
Which could be
the end of his
career. I mean, running backs get burned up so fast. You know, so I'm not saying it will be, but I'm saying
And I'm not saying don't pay him, but come on.
You know, I mean, the Steelers will tell you that Willie Parker is showing signs of decline. When you run a guy 300 carries a year for 3 or 4 years, they burn out quickly. I mean,
this goes back to the same scenario that they were in with David Garrard, but it's a little different in that you do have that uncapped year, 6 years to free agency added on to it. So, you know, with David, remember when we were talking about that, and me and you were actually shared the same opinion. We were saying, what's the rush?
That's, yeah.
You know,
well, my thing.
I got the same opinion here.
Yeah.
What's the rush?
None. There's no rush to it right now.
Well, I'm gonna take the opposite side on this.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. This team just came off a season that was destroyed, in my opinion, by salary contempt, by payroll contempt.
And he was one of the guys that was unhappy.
That's right. They paid a fortune to Jerry Porter and Drayton Florence and got very little in return.
They got nothing.
Got nothing in return. In fact, they got worse than nothing in Jerry Porter's case. They got bad tidings.
He took it, right.
They got bad tidings. All right. And that bred contempt in that locker room. Mike Pete, that doesn't happen if there hadn't been that angst in that locker room. I really think a lot of guys developed something they used to call it a varsity limp. You know, I don't know if people know what that is. You know, all of a sudden, you're just kind of dragging, you know?
No, I know what you mean, and I can see your point on that. I just wonder.
But so here's a guy who has really been productive for you. He really does deserve a long-term contract. Maybe you don't think he deserves that much money, but, and of course, it hasn't been signed yet.
These are just reports. Just bring it up for conversation.
But he does deserve a new deal. He does deserve a long-term deal. He does deserve a rather rich deal because he has been productive for you, and you are going to put the mantle on him this year. All right? He's going to get the saddle. I think it would be a good thing not to play hardball with a player who doesn't deserve to have to play hardball.
And I don't think he deserves to be played hardball with. I just see those numbers, and I think this is a running back. And Jeff, his style is exceedingly physical.
He's a tremendous player.
Exceedingly physical.
I mean, he's a tremendous player, and I'm not against having a long-term deal. I mean,
you're speaking like a businessman, and what you're saying is sound, Jeff.
He is the type of player that you want to have leading your team going forward, no question.
What you're saying is sound. In a business way, what's the rush? But I don't think, you know, this team has cut a lot from its payroll here. And I don't see anything wrong in giving a guy who's deserving of a contract the contract that he's deserving.
Okay.
If you're going to overpay for him, well, then you've done a dumb
thing. I guess
that's
the question.
The question is structure. How is it structured?
We don't know.
He's the only player in Jaguars history to provide.
Not how is it structured. That assumes that it's been done. How will it be structured? You know, because to me, that's an important point. I mean, you're going two years away.
You're going by that report, though, recently, right?
I'm not going by any report.
I just threw the numbers that were reported out. That's it.
Well, my information is that nothing is imminent, but I was told that a couple of days ago. That could have changed.
Well, just as a matter of conversation, I bring it up. It's obviously contracts around here this year become even more interesting because of what happened around here last year.
I think he's deserving of a new deal, a long-term deal, a rather rich deal, but it should not be a break the bank deal because, hey Mo, if you try to break the bank, we've got the leverage on this, yeah, and we'll use it.
I'm in agreement.
Okay,
there you go. Two and three. We'll end that segment on this. I've got to go do TV. When Jeff and Vic come back, they will take your calls and continue the conversation here on WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
If you want to talk to Sexton, turn your TV on and talk to the TV. If you want to talk to me and Vic Ketchman,
call us.
Give us a call. What are the numbers, Joe? No, what are the numbers?
They have to know the number,
355-NFL-1? 1-800-355-NFL-1. 6351 is NFL-1, right?
It's only been what?
That's been a million years, but, you know.
Call me. Call Jeff. Just call.
Hits to the head. You know, when me and Vic were in the studio, we had the back two of the numbers, so we just kind of wing it.
When you know, do you ever notice when Brian leaves, the fun starts?
I know.
Isn't
that nice?
Honest to God.
Yes.
Last week, you were gone. Vic was by himself.
You had to do it all by yourself? Oh, how'd you do?
Well, let me tell you what happened. I was going to do this is Jaguars This Week, you know.
Listen to the radio voice.
Who butts in? Who
Joe
butts
did.
In? He wouldn't let me flash my radio voice.
Why not, Joe?
Just a little bit outside.
Hey, party pooper. Me and you were talking during the break, and you know, we talked about Fred Taylor in the last segment, Marvin Harrison being released, Derek Brooks. You know, the list is starting to pile up. Mm-hmm. In the economic days that we are in, is that having an impact with what's going on league-wide now? Because to me, it seems that way. I mean, this is going to be a rather flooded market, wouldn't you say?
I think you could take it the rest of the way. You don't need me. They're flooding the market, which is going to drive the price, the individual price for these guys down.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Isn't that what happens? I mean, the greater the supply, the lower the price?
Yeah. Supply and demand, baby. Economics 101.
Plus, I think there's also another side to this. Not only are they flooding the market, I think there is going to be a hesitation to spend. There's going to be a hesitation to sign. I don't think you're going to have a New York Jets this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to have an Asante Samuel. If there is going to be an Asante Samuel, it's going to be Albert Haynesworth. But I'm wondering, have you heard of a team linked to him? Have you heard one word? By this time last year, we already knew that the Eagles were going to be a big player for Asante Samuel.
Right.
We already knew that Asante Samuel was going to get $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any projected figures on Haynesworth?
There's been some tossed around.
I haven't seen any.
You know, as far as what he wants.
What team have you seen linked to
Haynesworth? But there are no numbers associated with the team.
So I'm wondering.
You know, there are reports that Daniel Snyder wants to have Albert Haynesworth, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit. I mean, Dan Snyder likes to negotiate against himself to get certain players
let me ask you a question.
The drop of free agency.
Would you give a primo free agent, whoever he is, let's just take any free agent, would you give a free agent Jared Allen money, let's say $25 million signing bonus, would you give a free agent $25 million in signing bonus knowing that it's likely there will be a work stoppage in 11?
No.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, one year
the business
is gone.
Side of me would say, no, I don't want to do that.
No. I mean, it's not like that year is gone from his contract, but it's going to be pushed out another year, so your value is going to come later. It's going to be pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody likes to give front money for performance that's going to be shoved back a year.
True. Now, you make a good point. I mean, to me, I haven't thought of it in that there could be a work stoppage, because that term is so foreign to me, because I have never had to experience it.
Well, it's my understanding that I in the beginning I used to say replacement players, and I don't know what I was thinking. There can't be replacement players in 11. Do you know why? It's not the players who are going on strike. It's the owners. The players will just commit.
It'll be a lockout.
I mean, if you said we're going to
like hockey.
If you say we're going to replenish our roster with replacement players, who's going to show up?
I don't know.
The players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't.
So you're saying this could be hockey?
In 87, you had replacement players because it was the players who went on strike. They won't make that mistake again. They'll decertify.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just come in individually.
It'll be interesting to watch. And it will certainly be interesting to watch starting at midnight, what, Friday? Well, Saturday, I guess you could
midnight,
say.
Midnight, Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, right?
Or is it Friday? No, it's Friday, Saturday.
Is it Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Friday, because Friday's the 27th.
Yeah.
Is this the last day of February?
Yes. No.
Friday?
28th is Saturday, so it's Friday, Saturday.
Is this a leap year?
No, it is not. So it's Friday, Saturday. So midnight, Friday night, Saturday morning is the start of free agency. And last year, how many deals were done?
A lot.
That night?
A lot.
Three, four?
More. Jaguars had one on. A lot. It was Asante Samuel, you know, Jerry Porter. There were a ton of them. Alan Faneca. Oh, I think he was $45 million. Just outrageous contract for Alan Faneca. I mean, what were the Jets thinking? There were others too, so I don't think this is going to be that kind of a year. As far as the Jaguars are concerned, I expect them to be what I call a Plan B free agency team. Jeff, Plan B, you remember Plan B. When you were a player, there was a way into the league, a cheap way into the league for backup type players called Plan B free agency. I remember Mike Mularkey was a Plan B free agent.
Plan B was that you were not allowed to protect your entire roster.
Exactly.
There was some that you had to leave exposed. But you know, the
bottom of your roster guys.
Yeah, what's your term in Plan B, though, as far as the Plan B part of free agency? You're talking about second and third tier salary guys.
Talk about lesser players.
But I think we've seen a change in that over the last year or so, in that the Plan B guys, the second and third tier guys, haven't had to wait for the top tier guys.
Okay. Let me give you
an
example.
In the last couple of years. And the reason I say that is that I think the players have started to adapt to the system as well as the agents, and that they are no longer wanting to wait for the big money guys to try to do a deal. There's a lot of owners out there that are being a little bit more aggressive with the second and third tier guys.
Yeah, but there are no bargains.
To get them done.
There are no bargains in the first week of free agency.
No. I mean, well, there used to not be.
So you think there could be this year?
Well, I think that there will be players and agents that understand that this is not going to be an extremely profitable market in free agency. And when they get offers, I think they're going to be more apt to take them because they have done that in the last couple of years. But anyway.
Let me give you an example of a Plan B guy. Real simple. Mueldy Moore. I think the Jaguars are going to try to sign a lot of Mueldy Moores.
Okay. Mueldy Moores, Clyde Simmons. Yeah, those type of guys.
Guys who are going to overachieve and give you more than for what you pay.
Well, you'd always like to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that always the goal? All right, let's go to the phone lines and let's bring up Amadeus from the South Side. Good evening, Amadeus.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I'll be real quick, and I don't have a question, just a statement to make about, you know, letting Fred go. I just don't understand how, and I don't know a lot about football, but I know a lot about marketing, how they didn't use Fred to really sell a lot of tickets and build this year up and do promos and commercials and billboards saying, whose record is Fred going to break this week? You got to be here at home. It's his last year. Let's send him out with a huge bang. Retire his number, you know, halftime of the last home game. Really, really market this huge. Can you imagine how many people would want to be there for his last year?
Do you think that would sell tickets?
I got to be honest with you. I really, really do.
Nah.
Well, let me just say this. First, I understand that, you know, hey, marketing the game is about marketing the stars, and I agree with you there, and Fred is no question has been a star here for a long time.
Yep.
But when it comes to Fred, as far as, you know, having a jersey retirement ceremony, he's talking about the, you know, the yardage that he's going to surpass, you don't know. I mean, you don't have the crystal ball to say that Fred's going to retire, so you can't do that. You know,
yeah, but he certainly won't without being on the team.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if you know, but I'll check it out if you don't know. The game against New Orleans that was Brunel's farewell, remember that game?
I remember the game.
Was that blacked out in Jacksonville?
You know what? That I don't remember.
I'll check that out.
Okay.
I think Vic is being a little facetious.
I think you're being excessively romantic. I think,
and there's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Because that is what being a fan, a fanatic, is all about. It's having passion about players. It's having passion about your players and about your team. And that's totally okay, because if you take that element out of it.
But it won't win for you, Jeff. That's the problem.
I understand that.
All that romance.
I understand that. But from a fan standpoint, you have to have those attachments.
I agree.
Because, yeah, and I just feel like it would have given this city a little bit of history in the NFL to have this player go all the way through his entire career and then retire here, and we all could have been there to say goodbye to him.
Yeah,
that's just the way I feel about it.
Amadeus, thanks for the call, and I agree with you, but I also will make one quick statement. Fred Taylor will always be a Jaguar.
Yep.
He will always be a Jaguar, and he will retire as a Jaguar in the future. Be back with more of Jaguars This Week with Sexton driving the ship after this.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, whether you're running to train or training to run, Under Armour has the answer. Visit your local sporting goods retailer to learn more about the latest innovations in run. Or simply visit underarmour.com. Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton back with you, along with Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. Before we go to the phone lines, and there are callers there, you had a number. You were talking in the last break with someone about
Amadeus, about that
2003
was
game.
Talking about the celebration of players' final years of their career, heritage players like Fred Taylor, and how that would drive attendance to the stadium. So I looked up the attendance for that New Orleans game that was Mark Brunell's farewell.
January of 03, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
49,207 weeping people.
So they could feel the love. Yeah.
I mean, that stuff doesn't sell. I'll tell you what sells. Wins.
Yeah.
Well, wins sell, obviously. But if you had a Hall of Fame-type player that was having his last hurrah, you know, if Brett Favre had an announced last game in Green Bay, it would have been packed.
Which always
Mark
packed.
Brunell is not a Brett Favre-type player. Right. Was not. So very few players can do that.
Mark Brunell, I'm with you. What you're saying is correct. But Mark Brunell was a beloved player, and my point is that this baloney about marketing Fred, and hey, they marketed Fred for 11 years. You know, and there were a lot of blackouts here, especially in recent years. So I think we need to focus on what's important, and that's the product. And this product needs to get younger.
And indications are it's going to.
Yeah. It's going to get younger.
Say it again. The Buccaneers cut 11 times.
Well, Drayton Florence.
Mm-hmm. Derek Cooks today.
Fred Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next?
Paul Spicer.
Paul Spicer is going to get cut. Is that definite?
Well, I mean, what are they going to do with Brad Meester? He's an older player.
Well, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they don't have to cut him. But
you get the point.
Paul Spicer is going to be gone.
Yeah.
What was he scheduled to make?
$4 million, right, with the extension that he signed last year?
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. But I don't think they pushed him up to over four. It's just...
Had a very, very bad year.
Yeah, they're just saying, look, we're getting on with it. I mean, we got to fix ourselves. We're telling you where we need to fix ourselves.
355-NFL-1. Phone lines are stacked. Let's go out to San Clemente, California, where Jimmy's standing by. We'll grab him first. Hello, Jimmy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure.
I was just going to ask Vic who he thought the top 10 picks in the draft are going to be at. Noticed it on AskVic this morning, so
yeah, I'm going to
figured I'd get an early sneak peek.
Okay, I'm going to reveal my top 10 tomorrow. So I can't give you all 10. I'll give you a tease.
Okay,
I'll give you number one.
You're going to reveal that on Jaguars.com
on my AskVic column. In my AskVic column tomorrow, I'm going to give you my top 10 guys.
Okay. By the way, I did get a chance to see all the interviews that you had on Jaguars.com and the combine reporting. Very nice job.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Very nice job.
So, caller, what do you want? You want my number one guy or my number eight guy? I'm going to give you number one. I'm going to hold back eight.
Give an obscure one.
No. You can't give the number one.
Yeah, wait, say number one.
I can because...
Here.
Is it so easy?
Give me number...
No, it's a surprise.
About 1, 3, 5,
I'm surprise
six.
No, here's an easy way to do it. Give me 5 and 6.
I can't remember them. But I can remember 1, 8, and 10.
Give us 8, then. Because that's where the Jaguars pick.
Yeah, but I'm going to hold that one back because it's juicy. It's real juicy.
Is it not?
All right, who's number one?
Aaron Curry, Wake Forest, linebacker.
Is he that good?
Yeah.
But you know what? And my response to that was because I happened to turn on the NFL Network and watch 5 minutes of combine coverage.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, it's just kind of, God.
Now,
it's boring, but... That's the thing that they were all over was this Curry guy from Wake Forest, and he blew everybody away at the combine.
Yeah. He did.
Woohoo! You know what that
I was cheering, Jeff. I was the towel going and
everything. Hey, did you? Yeah. Were you cheering him on?
Go, Aaron, go!
You know, and you know what?
They were chasing me. Trying.
All of that stuff will subside.
It's crap.
Because it's all about combine
it's
excitement.
It
show
is
me
C-R-A-P.
A number. Show me a number. Show me a guy in his underwear. How does he look?
And then
you know what happens? People get back from the combine, and the numbers get lost with all the other numbers, and they go back to what?
It's capital C.
They go back to watching game film. They go back to watching how productive a player is against high-end competition, and then they have the individual workouts and everything else.
Well, there's 2 months left. There are two
There's
more
so
months
many
before the draft.
Pieces of that, the puzzle. The majority of them are put in, but there are few that are left, and they still have to be inserted.
That's why I don't think Chris Wells, no Sean Marino, yeah, he's gone. He ran 4.6. That you can't take that at 8.
Right.
But I think Chris Wells will make a comeback, because when you're 235, 240 pounds, and you are a true pounder, and you're as young as he is with as much upside as he has, 4.5, 6, or whatever he ran in the 4.5s, mid to low 4.5s, whatever he ran in that range, that's okay. No one ever talked about Jerome Bettis's 40 time. It wasn't that bad, actually. But it was immaterial.
Clearly,
because he was going to pound you.
Right.
He was going to flatten your head. This is what Wells is going to do. Wells is a pounder. For no Sean Marino, the 40 time is important because this is a out-in-space kind of back. Beanie Wells is not an in-space back. He is an in-your-face back. And for him, I don't think the 40 time is all that important. I expect him to come back towards the Jaguars.
Okay, real quick. I have to ask this. If they do go ahead and give Maurice Drew a big contract, mm-hmm. like we talked about, do they take a running back at 8, knowing you're going to spend $17, $18 million guaranteed dollars on a running back?
In my opinion, you have to find somebody.
What if
Where that is, I can't answer that. But you have to have
a lot of money at running back.
You have to have somebody to compliment Maurice, in my opinion.
Okay, but what if he doesn't have that contract by the time you make that pick?
Well, then you're actually maybe in a better position because you have more leverage all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm. You know,
if you want to play hardball, I'm just saying.
No, I'm not saying play
hardball.
I'm just if he's the best available player, which we've been promised they're going to select, then that's that.
And that's my question: is does it even come into it? Maurice's contract even come into it? Because remember what they paid Derek Harvey.
Hey, wait a minute. You lose Fred Taylor, and you tell me you don't have need at running back? Oh no.
I didn't say you don't have need. No. I didn't say you didn't have need. What I'm saying is, wow, you could have $40 million committed to two players.
You remember, at the same position. Let me just change the verbatim there. You didn't lose Fred Taylor. You let Fred Taylor go.
All right, but
you lost him, Jeff, because he gained 556 yards last year. And this is a guy who had always been a...
But you didn't lose him.
Well, okay.
Okay, but let me come back to my point.
Hold on.
Lose usually means by accident right. or beyond your
okay,
control.
But he got old.
We can argue that point forever. We've been arguing it. I come back to this. Once again, Maurice gets $20 million. This kid's going to get $18 million. That's $38 million, figuratively speaking. Now, that's all I'm speaking is figuratively, at running back.
Well,
can you do that?
Hey, you know,
you can do anything you want.
That's what I'm saying. Does it even come into play?
I'm buying this best available player stuff. Right. I'm buying it. I'm a trusting person, and I have done the wink wink thing, and I'm not getting the wink wink back. I'm getting the straight look in the eyes, and that's what we're going to do. So I'm buying it.
All right, we'll take a break and return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
One more segment of Jaguars This Week. We're happy you're with us this evening, last Wednesday of February. It's hard to believe we're breaking into March, Sunday.
We're heading for free agency. I knew last year as we headed into free agency, I knew I was going to have to be on 24-hour call. Hated it. Because it meant I had to be on 24-hour call. Second of all, I hated it because I knew they were going to sign turds. I knew it.
You didn't know
yes,
that.
I knew it. Because
How did you know that?
Because the first weekend, that's all you got. Guys who, when you put the money in their pocket, they don't get better, Jeff. And that's what's going to happen with Haynesworth. Haynesworth has played his best football in contract years. They're going to put the money in his pocket, and he's going to get worse.
You grew up a Redskins fan.
Mm-hmm.
You still follow the organization to some degree because of your buddies.
I mean,
who
I have
there.
To, yeah. Your all my buddies are like, man, what are they doing?
Right.
What do you think?
So, again, we're talking about reports here, but you've seen what reportedly Haynesworth wants. And
what, $100 million?
Yeah, and we're talking about $15 million a year.
Have you seen one team connected to him?
Washington.
That's the only one so
the
far?
That's it.
Okay. What's the best decision the Redskins...
Would you do it?
Your Redskins...
Would they do it?
Ever?
Would you do it?
No.
Okay.
No.
What's the best free agency decision your Redskins ever made? ever made.
It's not Deion Sanders, I'm pretty sure.
You know what it is, but he's probably forgotten it.
What years?
This would go back like 95, 96, 97, 97. Yeah, 97, 96, 97, somewhere in there. They franchised a guy, put a franchise tag on Sean Gilbert, who was a hot shot defensive tackle.
Great
all right,
deal
and
for him.
And Carolina
Sanders.
Bit. Yeah. And they paid the two first-round picks. And the guy never did a thing for Carolina. He took the money and ran.
Yeah, but here's the important point. What did the Redskins do with those two first-round picks?
They did good stuff with them.
What?
As I recall. I'm going to get the book.
What was that?
Was that the
LeVar
Arrington and
Courtney
the,
Brown?
No, the left tackle from Alabama.
Yeah, that was the –
Chris Samuels.
Mm-hmm. I think they used it on Chris Samuels.
That draft, yeah.
Underachiever, Chris Samuels.
He's been with him a long time. Sean Gilbert.
But Albert Haynesworth.
Point well taken.
Someone's going to spend money on him. Would you be that general manager? Because I know you, and you said
he is by far and away
that's what you said.
The most dominant defensive player in football, and it's not even close.
But
it's one of those buyer bewares.
If at this time next year you can say that about Albert Haynesworth, I will be stunned.
In the business climate, I would have to say no. I wouldn't do it.
Well, that brings into.
Because that plays into it.
He is a definite take the money and run guy, and both of you know it.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that at all.
He's had off the field things. There's no question.
I'm suggesting
he's not a rock solid character guy.
There are only a few teams that could afford to pay him. Those teams whose stadiums are guaranteed sellouts.
Well, and the thing that worries me the most about a guy like that is how will he change? Will he change?
Well, he hasn't changed.
And did you see the story?
Because if he does change, you're out. A lot of money.
Oh.
And those type of contracts, in my book of personnel, which there is no such thing, I'm making this up. But if I had a book, my book would say...
And it would be a very good book.
It would have to be a rock-solid character guy.
And that is not Albert Haynes.
And that's not Albert.
Did you read the story I did with Terry McDonough?
Yes.
He's right on the button. Terry McDonough, in that story, I think it ran on Saturday on Jaguars.com, he put it all right on the plate for everybody.
He's a very sharp guy.
He absolutely reduced it to its purest logic. The situation as he represented it here for 6 years, the mistakes that were made, and the mistakes that have to be not made going forward.
You know, I was going through a tape over at the television station last night from the archive looking for some video of Mal Washington for a story I was doing, and I came across, just as you know, you review a tape, here's Hugh Douglas. Big, fat face, and he looks so overweight at his opening news conference.
You know what's funny about him? I actually had a conversation with somebody in Nashville, Tennessee, last Friday at the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention. About Hugh Douglas.
Wait, wild turkeys and the bourbon?
No.
Douglas is a turkey hunter.
No, they were a big sponsor.
No, I know. I know.
The turkey hunting convention, okay?
Now, Hugh Douglas is a turkey hunter?
No. I said I had a conversation with somebody about Hugh Douglas at this convention. I'll tell you guys. Okay. Take a guess of who you think it would be.
It was hunting
current
turkey?
Philadelphia Eagles player.
Real John Runyon.
Nope.
Oh, wait. Is that Fraley? He's gone.
Yeah, he's in Cleveland now. Donovan McNabb.
Nope.
I'm going obscure now. Brian Westbrook.
Trent Cole. Is it Trent Cole?
Yeah, Trent Cole. Yeah.
Trent Cole, defensive end, is a big-time hunter.
Where's he from, Brian?
He's from Ohio. Went to University of Cincinnati. Was a Bearcat.
That's right, Cincinnati. Okay.
And he was at the convention and got to talking with him. And we actually talked about Hugh Douglas.
And?
He just said that Hugh Douglas is not looked upon favorably by the Eagles locker room because of the role that he came back to when he returned to Philadelphia after his departure from here.
Which was player personnel.
He was kind of an ambassador, and then he had a radio show, and he said some pretty outlandish things on radio that didn't endear him to his former teammates and new Eagles players.
You know, the funny thing is a couple years removed from it, and this was the point of the story, is – when he was here, I didn't see his face as being so swollen and fat. And then as I rolled through the tape and I stopped it, I went, they signed that guy looking like that?
That's why I just picked the, you know, just stick to the draft. There's good players in this draft. There's a guy named B.J. Raji from Boston College.
You need a couple Trent Coles.
Absolutely. B.J. Raji is a real good player.
What was Trent Coles' draft pick wise?
He was a third-round pick.
Third-round pick and a sensational player.
He got paid.
I'm going to give you a guy. I'm going to give you a seventh-round guy, an undrafted, potential seventh-round undrafted guy from Little Stillman College, Brian Witherspoon's college.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Remember this name.
Okay.
Defensive tackle, Sammy Hill.
Okay.
Sammy Hill. Look him up. I mean, there's a diamond in the rough kind of guy. A Grady Jackson type, 6'4", 320, and has the potential to get bigger. you know, and I think he had a kind of...
You just don't hear that about 320-pound guys.
Some injuries there. I think he had a bad year. He looked good going into the year. There's a diamond in the rough. I mean, I came away with some definite sleepers. Here's another kid. Mark Duffner, the linebacker's coach, loves him. Scott McKillop, middle linebacker. Two down kind of guy, in the box kind of player.
Where's he from? I've heard the name.
He's a Pitt guy.
Okay.
Two down kind of players aren't very, very held in high regard in this league anymore.
Well, he's a fourth, fifth round guy, you know, but loved him in any interviews. Tough guy. Duff's crazy about him.
Two down guys, we're talking about a linebacker that doesn't play in space very well.
Right, exactly.
He'd take him out on third down.
But everyone's playing nickel, Jeff. I mean, you're playing all these sub packages.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's not a two down guy anymore. There's a one down guy.
Oh.
There's no such thing as two down linebackers anymore.
Okay, well, this guy is a run. Oh, I'm saying, yeah, I see what you're saying. They start throwing on second down. Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
You play one or you play three.
In the old days, a two down linebacker meant that he was a run
Millen
defense.
Type.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, nowadays, he's a one down linebacker. Yeah.
It sounds like for this team in particular, because of the lack of draft picks, that undrafted free agency is going to be as important and as interesting for us to follow over the next couple of months to bone up on names like this as the draft itself.
Got
to
find the down-the-line guys.
I'm following Vic's lead.
All right, then. Good to have you back.
Stay away.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.